Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know how you come up with an argument that somebody is close to the Lakers if they're 100% healthy.
I'll tell you this. If we end up with those teams going to the finals, which is not a stretch, Philadelphia and the Lakers, I think we're going to see some changes in the way teams make up their rosters because those are both big teams. And, yeah. You know, the NBA has gotten smaller. So if that happens and there's, you know, it's a long shot, not a stretch, but it's a long shot at this point to say any two teams are going to be in the playoffs, in the finals. If that happens, I think we may see some new trends being established. Because they're both big teams.
As much fun as the NBA is these days to watch, one of the reasons is because this positionless basketball and you got stretch fours and stretch fives now. Do you like that? I don't like seeing Joel Embiid taking three-pointers. And I don't care if he's shooting.
He makes them. I'm fine if he makes it. Karl-Anthony Towns can make that shot. Why wouldn't you? I was watching Anthony Davis warming up last night, and he's shooting jumpers, and I was at the other end, and I realized he's shooting threes, and he's making them.
Yeah. That's nothing to those guys.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you have a guy take that shot? It's the most efficient shot. You get 3 points for it, Michael.
You know what the most efficient play in basketball is? Steph Curry getting fouled, taking a three-pointer.
It's actually the corner three.
I was told last night on the air that it's him getting fouled while taking a three because his percentage from that corner three may be, 40, 42% if it's really high. His percentage at the free throw line is, it's basically a lock that he's going to make the three free throws, right?
The difference is, though, I can go and shoot a corner three. That's within my control. Steph doesn't know if he's going to get fouled or not.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Tim in Concord joins us on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Tim?
Guys, you're making me laugh about this health thing. When they're healthy, that means they don't have the flu or a stomach bug or something. Guys, talk about injury-free. When they're done and they're healed from the injuries, they're healed from the injuries. They're not healed to be healthy. Guys, put your English and grammar in proper context.
Okay, Tim, I think you're wrong, but thanks for...
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Be gone.
If somebody has a broken leg, are they healthy? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
They are injured, but they're not healthy.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's a problem.
Thank you for the grammar
lesson.
How long
did, Tim, wait on hold?
I don't know. Not long. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on the Miami Heat.
There you go. The text line coming alive.
Not five, not six, not seven.
Chilton Autobody text line. Yeah, I got Jimmy Butler, right? Don't sleep on the Miami Heat. LeBron don't play defense. Yeah. All right.
Are you a big fan of Denver? I know you like Jokic.
Jokic is great. Jamal Murray, I have questions about him. You know, they win a lot of games because of the altitude. That's a fine team, and I love their coach. Michael Porter Jr. this year. Wow, what a pick he could end up being after, he was hurt last year. I think my opinion of them, as I think about it here, really colored by the fact that they lost Game 7 at home. I was very disappointed in them. I saw them improving the leaps and bounds. Like, and in the playoffs, they're advancing. So I wonder whether there's something lacking there, but they're very talented. That team that couldn't win that big game at home, seeing them winning the championship, I could be wrong, but right now I don't see it.
Yeah, and look, Michael Porter, though, I'm glad you mentioned him because he is, for a young guy to have back issues, it's worrisome, no doubt, because back issues typically aren't just a one-year thing and they go away and you never deal with it again. It's usually a lifelong maintenance type of thing. But if Michael Porter is healthy or
injured
or not injured or doesn't have a cold,
come on, guys.
I think, is he eligible for Rookie of the Year?
Oh, yeah.
If he is,
of course
I think he'll win it. I think he's that good.
Don't forget the Jazz from the 925. Yeah, the Jazz. Mike Conley is underrated. Michael Conley
unbelievable
is phenomenal.
Pickup. Unbelievable pickup for
yes.
them.
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned them, too, because yes. The Jazz, I don't think, are getting enough love.
I like the Jazz a little more than I like the Denver Nuggets. Eric from Sonoma on 95.7 The Game. How's it going today, Eric?
Hey, good, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
What you got for us, man?
I think,
I think if the Warriors were able to get a center like Giannis and then have him work the post and kick the ball out to Curry or Thompson, who could then shoot a three or drive it, man, that's a recipe for, gosh, who knows how many championships. As long as they can keep them all under contract, I think that'd be so exciting to watch.
What if, Eric, what if down the road you couldn't get Giannis, but you could get Karl Anthony Towns? Would you be nearly as excited? I think we lost him. I guess
that's a no.
I guess that's my answer. Yeah, thank you. From the, where is it from? From the 209, pardon me. Go Hawks. Yeah, the Hawks are going to be fun to watch.
Somebody says it's obvious you're an L.A. fanboy. Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
I'm just not.
There's nothing about you that suggests L.A. fanboy to me.
That's fine. Okay. You want to roll with that? Good for you. Coming up, you think it's harder to be an NFL player or an MLB player? We're going to talk to a guy who did both next on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. Appreciate all the calls and texts. Even the calls that don't make a ton of sense. That's okay. We're just glad
you're
listening.
How are you feeling right now? Why are you healthy?
Well, I'm not sick, so
I
must be healthy. If I'm injured, yeah. So if I'm injured, am I still healthy?
I could not care less.
That was one of our weirder calls.
It was strange, but that's okay. Because I
think appreciative of it.
Gentleman meant well. Right?
Sure he did.
Yeah. Which do you think would be harder, Michael Urban? I know you played some sports at a very high level. You played college baseball, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which do you think would be harder, being an NFL player or a Major League Baseball player?
Well, I played a little semi-pro football after college, and I'm going to say football's harder.
All right. Our next guest actually played in Major League Baseball, and he was a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, third baseman for the Florida Marlins, also the National High School Player of the Year before he went on to play quarterback at LSU. Big win for them today. Host on the Believe Podcast Network, Josh Booty, nice enough to join us. How are you today, Josh?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Congratulations, 36-13. The LSU Tigers now 7-0, baby.
Yeah, brother, we're rolling. We got an offense this year. It's the first time we've really scored at a pace like this ever that I've seen LSU. So everybody's excited. The fans are pumped. You know, I think we led the nation in scoring a couple of weeks ago. I don't know after today if we're going to be, you know, number one in the country. But, you know, we keep putting good offensive days together. Our defense is pretty solid as well. We get Auburn next week at home, who's only got one loss. So we got good things coming, you know, big games coming.
So, Josh, since we've got you, we may as well ask you to answer that question because you are one of the very few people we'll ever speak to that's qualified to answer it. NFL, MLB, which one's harder?
Man, well, you know, I think if you're a hitter, it's different if you're a pitcher. I think, you know, pitcher, it's a little, I don't want to say easy. It's not easy to be a big league pitcher, but, you know, to hit a baseball so much is one of the toughest things to do in the world. So if you're a position player and you have to do, you know, the hitting and fielding, you know, and deal with that. Baseball's so tough. But I think, you know, everything rides on your shoulders if you're a quarterback in the NFL. And you're like the CEO. You're like the trigger man. You're the guy that has to tell everybody what to do. Everything's so important. Your job's so important. It's like you got to be so reliable. And I think in a baseball environment that, you know, if you're one of nine guys that are playing, you know, you're one of nine guys in the lineup, even though if you're a leadoff hitter or four-hole hitter, you know, it's two totally different roles, but you're not the guy. In football, you're the guy. So I would say if you're a quarterback now, if you're a different position, same thing. You know, you don't have as much on your shoulders. If you're a DN, you just, you know, get after the passer, you know, get off the blocks and try to make tackles. I mean, your role is a lot different. So if you're a quarterback like I was, I think that's the most difficult thing to do in sports. But, you know, hitting a baseball certainly, you know, was super difficult for me.
Josh Booty, nice enough to join us. He was a quarterback for the Browns. He was with some other NFL teams, and he actually played third base for the Florida Marlins. Josh, one time I asked Drew Bledsoe to share with us what is the most difficult thing about being a quarterback, because there's so much to it than most of us will have any idea. He said the most difficult thing is that you have so many decisions to make even before the ball is snapped. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, you know, I think that's in the NFL, you know, I tell people this all the time. It's like you're studying for a midterm test every week. So, you know, it's a copycat league. There's so much that goes into the game plan. You know, you have several different plays that are thrown into a game plan every week in every situation. So, you know, in first and 10, you know, second and short or third and long or, you know, goal line, short yardage, you know, red zone, all this stuff that you have to put in, you know, versus the blitz that other teams have done well against defensive coordinators that you're playing against. There's so much that goes into an offensive game plan that, you know, he's right there. And I know I've known Drew for a long time. There's so much that goes into processing what you got to do before the play even starts, down and distance, you know, who personnel, who's in the game, who's matchups, all kind of different things that you can think of during, you know, before pre-snap. Now, I think also the toughest thing in the world is when people are breathing down your neck, keeping your eyes up and off the rush and just feeling the rush with your feet but not with your eyes. And I think that's a tough, tough thing to do and probably the toughest thing in sports. And, like, guys like Brady and Breeze do such a good job with that. They don't get their eyes down on the rush. They feel it, but they don't see it. And they can stand in the pocket, make moves, and keep their eyes downfield so they can make the accurate read and or the proper read and make an accurate pass. And I think that's what is the difference between someone who's decent and someone who's great.
Josh, your experience as a quarterback, your knowledge of the position, do you think you evaluate quarterbacks differently? Like in what you do now, when you're asked to look at a quarterback, like say a rookie coming into the NFL, do you find that you often have a very different evaluation than people that maybe don't understand how difficult and challenging that position is?
Yeah, it's I don't really like to talk to people that don't understand the position that much. Like I'll say a little something to them, or I'm not 20 year veteran and Hall of Fame guy.
Right.
I'm not, but I do understand the position. My dad was a coach. I had brothers play. You know, JD played at SC, was a great quarterback, and went on and played back up in the NFL as well. And of course, we've just been around it so much, so it's hard to sit on a couch and talk to someone who really doesn't get it.
Right.
I tell them just a few little things, but you know, watching a guy like Kyler Murray and watching offenses, Joe Burrow, for instance, at LSU, watching the change that is because of the spread offense and things that people are doing. I mean, there's just so much that, like you said, that we've talked about in the last 5 minutes, it goes into being a really good quarterback. And if someone who's never played it, you know, the guy was wide open in the flat. You know, how did you not see that fullback? Well, you know, the defensive end's breathing down your throat. You know, he might be the third or fourth read in the situation. And, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into it. But the quarterback position is super tough. But there's some really good ones out there, some really good young ones that, you know, there's five freshmen that are starting in the SEC right now. That's never happened in the Southeastern Conference. So these guys are coming into college football ready to play, which is a test to you know, some of their high schools and the spread offenses that they're running younger ages now.
Catching up with Josh Booty on 95.7 The Game, quarterback for the Browns, played third base in Major League Baseball. Josh, when you look at some of the throws that guys like Russell Wilson and, well, I shouldn't say guys like, because there's really nobody like those guys. When you look at the throws that Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes are making, would you say that baseball can be excellent training for a quarterback?
I think it's huge. I think the guys that can really make all the throws, especially, you know, twisting their body, throws on the run, anticipation. It's like, you know, a lot of the throws are like double play throws, the second baseman, shortstop type of throws. And even when there's the screens, the quick throws, get it out of your hand throws, there's a lot that can be said for, you know, being a shortstop. And I think that's why guys like Kyler and Mahomes can do some of the things that other guys can't do. Aaron Rodgers played, you know, shortstop. And so I think those guys, they have an advantage because they played two sports. They understand how to get the ball out of their glove, you know, which is in football, you don't have the glove, but you know what I'm saying? You got to get it out quick. And it's just, I love that part about some of these guys that they brought. They can bring baseball over and it translates. It's a big deal.
Josh, I'm 6-7 years older than you are. We both grew up in a time when athletes were encouraged to just go from sport to sport to sport. You know, and it wasn't about specialization. Now, with travel ball and AAU and all that, we see a ton of specialization. Do you agree that is probably limiting some of the great athletes we've got out there?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the game is changing in all the different sports. So, you know, like football, now you're seeing the big, tall 6'5 guys that used to play basketball are playing football. I mean, LSU, we've got 6'3, 6'4, 6'5, 6'6 wide receivers that start in our spread formation. So, you know, like 10 years ago, we didn't have that kind of height out there. And so, you know, a lot of these basketball players are starting to play football. But going back to your question, you know, there's little leaguers that are playing 80, 100 games in the summer and traveling all over the place. It's like, how do they, you know, how do you go from that to playing football to basketball like we did? And we were encouraged to do it all. I think nowadays it's just you try to do it as long as you can, but I think by the time you're a sophomore in high school, you're going to have to make a decision, or you're going to get left behind. There's only a couple of rare athletes that can do it all the way through, and that's Kyler Murray, you know, Jameis Winston, you know, some of those guys that are just you know, really, really good athletes in both. And I think quarterback too. It's hard to think that a quarterback could ever play in the Major League Baseball and in the NFL at the same time. We've had Deion and Bo and all that, but I don't think a quarterback can do it, just because there's so much that the quarterback has to, you know, he has to be there all the time, be in the building, be the leader of the franchise. And if you leave, you can't. There's no way you could do it.
So, Josh Booty, you played third base, right? The hot corner.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, now, you may not, there may not be an answer to this, but if there is, I'm curious, was there one guy that hit you a ball, maybe it was in the minors, one shot that you remember, I can't believe how hard that guy hit the ball to me?
I do. It's funny you ask. We played, God, I think it was Montreal when they were the Expos, and it was maybe my first or second start ever, back in 95, 96, 97, somewhere in there. And Rondell White hit a ball down the third baseline, and he snapped his, you know, Sheffield was on our team, and man, he could turn on a fastball like I've never seen. But playing third base, Rondell White hit a ball down the line that was by me. You know, I couldn't have got to it because it was a little higher than I could have jumped, but it was by me before I could, you know, think. And, you know, he just turned on, you know, I think a Kevin Brown or Al Leiter fastball. And I was like, golly, I mean, these guys can, you know, at the big league level are so strong and can just wheel and turn on a fastball like that. But it was scary. I remember McGuire, when I played against McGuire, I played back on the grass just because I knew he wasn't going to bunt, and there was no way I was going to play up on Mark McGuire, you know. But I can remember some of those things so long ago, but we used to play McGuire way, way back on the grass, even at third base, because he, you know, he could just hit it so hard at you, and it was scary.
Sometimes the ball makes noise, right? I mean, you can hear it spinning.
Oh, yeah.
Well, back at the old Pro Player Stadium, the Marlins, where the Marlins used to play, where I used to play, it, you know, in Florida, it's hot and humid, and it rains at 5 o'clock during BP every day, and they bring the tarp out, but the field would be slick, and the grass is cut. So it's super fast surface, so you know the ball would just glance off that grass, and we, you know, when people were on base, we'd have to play up, especially, you know, against guys that could bunt, and that the ball would jump, and so it was scary because you'd have to watch it, you know, your teeth, because that ball would glance off that fast turf. I remember that. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to get too close to this hitter, because this thing could come off that grass so fast and it's wet. But yeah, it's crazy.
You were lucky to be a teammate of Gary Sheffield. I remember I pitched in college, and in the media guide questionnaire that we got, it said, who's the hitter that you would least like to face in the major leagues? And it was easy for me, Gary Sheffield. It looked like he was trying to kill you every time he swung the bat.
Yeah, and he would tell you that, too, in the dugout. And the guys that, you know, he'd be making, you know, $10-12 million a year back then was a ton, and
right
in the 90s, and I remember him saying, you know, this guy's trying to take food off my plate, and I'm like, dang, you know, I mean, you're making $10 million a year, you know, he's not taking food off your plate, but mentality. That was his mentality, you know. Every time he went to the plate, every time he went to hit, was this pitcher's trying to take food off my plate. So he was always ready to go.
Hey, Josh, your sophomore year at LSU, you're playing for Saban was the coach there, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you had a lot of big wins that year. That was a very interesting year in college football, but was it the win over Alabama that was probably the biggest in your mind? I know it even has its nickname. It's called the It's About Time game, because the first time they had beaten Alabama at home in like 31 years. Is that the highlight?
It was, because in my first year in 99, we went to their place, and we had no business They were ranked a lot higher than we weren't even in the top 25. And I tried to run, it in with like 4 seconds left on a bootleg, and I didn't get in at like the 1/2 inch line. And so we lost on the road. So the next year they came to our place and we got them, in Tiger Stadium. That was the first time that we'd won there. I think, like you said, 30 something years. So it was big to get the monkey off my back from 99 when I tried to run it in and got stopped short at the goal line. And then having that win, but that, you know, Saban came in and changed the whole deal at LSU. We weren't near as good in 99 as, you know, some of the teams that they've got now. I mean, they've just, the LSU is rocking now.
So I know Josh Booty with us. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but can you preview for us LSU against Bama on November 9th?
Yeah, I can tell you a little. I mean, you know, both teams are a lot alike. Both quarterbacks are throwing up similar numbers. The spread offense has become a major part of both teams, you know, the way they operate. Both teams have 3 or 4 wide receivers that will play on Sundays that are just capable of taking it the distance. I think, you know, it'll be a spread game. It'll be a high-scoring game. Both defenses are getting better every week, but both of LSU seems to be getting a little healthy. We had 3 or 4 defensive linemen that were banged up early in the season. We're coming on a little stronger now. We've got those guys back, especially at D-tackle, guys that can rush the passer. We've got like an 8-man defensive line rotation. Alabama is down a couple linebackers. That gives us a chance. They had some All-American guys go down in preseason for the season. So, but they have so much talent. They're the deepest team in college football when you talk about talent and guys that can step in and play, you know, at a very, very high level. Of course, that Tuscaloosa and the Saban factor, he's won 8 in a row against us. So this is going to be one heck of a ball game. Both teams are scoring, you know, 50 points a game. And, you know, I think the last time we beat them, the score was 9-6. We beat them at their place like 8-9 years ago. So it's going to be a much different game than that, but I hope we can inch it out like that and hopefully, you know, win by field goal. I think that's what, you know, it's going to be a touchdown field goal game.
Josh, I'm going to send you out with a fairly random question. I noticed your middle name is Gibson. Were you, in fact, named for Josh Gibson?
You know, not a lot of people know that. No, my mom, that's my mother's maiden name.
Okay.
And when I was playing baseball, you know, a lot of people did ask me about that back in the day, and I've you know, watched Josh, some of his clips and stuff like that, because I was just interested in him. And when people started asking me about him, but no, that's my mother's maiden name. But he was a heck of a ball player.
Yes, Josh Booty, thank you so much for your time, sir. We appreciate it. We enjoyed it. Hope you did too. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff,
yeah.
Josh.
Call me anytime, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Josh Booty, his LSU Tigers with a big win today over Mississippi State, 36-13. Wow.
What I think we're going to have to take him up on it. And actually, even though like he could not be affiliated with something that we want to talk about, I'd bring him in just to talk to him about it. I like the guy. Seems like he likes us too. I think he took a special shine to you, Whitey.
Really?
I do.
You really?
Can you do his accent though?
That would be disrespectful because then I would be mocking him.
No, that's not mocking him.
Yeah.
How is that
mocking him? Well, I don't think I could do it very well. I need to let it marinate a little bit more. I really enjoyed the conversation. And I just love talking to guys about the hardest.
Dude, how about that, man?
They were ever hit when they played football. And guys, remember that.
Who hit you the White.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or the hitter that you couldn't get out. Yeah. Talking to your buddy Vita Blue, you say, oh, Dick Allen.
Right.
Yeah, Dick Allen was tough, man.
You know, when you said that you can actually hear the ball sometimes, I remember I wanted to do this story, and I ultimately was not allowed to do it for insurance purposes, but I wanted to be able to describe what it's like getting hit by a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. So during spring training, and Tim Hudson agreed to throw at me, he was so far. It was almost scary how excited he was to do it.
I've been wanting to do that for a long time, Michael.
But I made the mistake of mentioning it to my editor. Like, I should have just filed the story. Like, hey, I let him throw at me. He hit me. Here's a picture of the bruise. I thought it would be kind of – I mean, my first choice was Billy Kotz because he threw 100 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
But he also didn't have the command that Tim had, so I was a little bit worried about that. But I stood in the box like I was going to get hit by Tim Hudson, And you ain't kidding, Whitey. You hear the seams. You hear the ball move. It whistles. It whispers.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
it's
man.
Like, if you remember those, I don't know what they call them. It was like a pinwheel firework, and you're supposed to nail it to a tree or something, and you light it with
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the sound that you get from a really well-thrown big league slider.
Or hit. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. I never would have thought Rondell White would be the answer to that, though, right?
That's part of the fun of it is he's going to Expos. I'm thinking Vlad Guerrero or something.
Yeah, that's exactly who I thought. Yeah. Vlad Guerrero, I thought.
Yeah. It just, there's so many great players that that are forgotten now, right? I mean, just to get to any of these levels. I mean, he was in the NFL, MLB.
Josh Booty was a big name in sports for a while. I mean, and he says, I'm looking at, I just Googled his name. One of the links says that I'll read this later, but it says, I was an idiot to attempt to marry baseball and football. But look, when you're that young and you're invincible and you can, I mean, you're a quarterback, you're the most important player on that team, and you're good enough to be asked to play big league baseball, you probably think you can do anything, right?
So look at the guys who did it. Thinking Bo Jackson, right?
Deion.
Brian Jordan. People forget about Brian Jordan, a great safety with the Falcons, and a great hitter with the Cardinals. And Deion, who was a pretty good baseball player.
Deion would have been. I don't know anybody that played baseball with Deion who doesn't think he could have been a Hall of Famer if he was just a baseball player and nothing else. I mean, really, all of those guys, right? You take any of the three guys that you just said, had they just played the one sport, you kind of got to assume. I mean, maybe Jordan is iffy, but certainly those other two guys, I mean, anybody that's got the athletic ability to play at the top of any two sports, my God.
Bo Jackson was the best, right? I mean, if you're looking at those two sports, anybody that played both at the highest of levels, he was, I mean, almost literally, people say, oh, he's unbelievable. I mean, you look at some things he did running up the fence in Kansas City. And he was. It was hard to believe the things he was able to do on the football field and on the baseball field.
He was like a cartoon character. He was a superhero is what he was. I mean, he and Deion more than, you know, anybody else. And you're right. A lot of people forget that Brian Jordan was just as good as those guys.
Great hitter.
Yeah. And great hitter in both sports, right? I mean, he would lay wood in football big time. But anytime you get asked, just think how hard it is to get to the top of one sport. And then these two dudes are doing it like one of them's almost like a hobby. Yeah, it's hitting a baseball is considered to be one of the hardest things to do, if not the hardest thing to do in sport, because you're squaring up some two round objects. And for some guys, that's just a hobby. You know, and they're just as good at that as, oh, by the way, being maybe the best defensive back in NFL history. Crazy, man.
What else is on your list of the toughest things to do in sports? I have one that I'm looking forward to working with Jim Barnett on the pregame show, because years ago I mentioned this to him, and he said, that's a good one. I think playing one-on-one on a good offensive player when you're defending and you're trying to close out on a shooter, I think that's one of the most – I think it's extremely difficult, because the offensive player, if he's very skilled, you know, the NBA guys obviously
all the
more skilled. And he knows what he's doing, and you're trying to stop him, especially if you have to close out on him and he hasn't dribbled yet, and you got to run out at him and keep him from going around you. That's tough, man.
And if they're nearly as comfortable with their right as their left, or, you know, vice versa, if they're somewhat ambidextrous, it's almost impossible. That's why your closeout has to be almost hesitant.
And that's why so many of the most important defensive principles in basketball are team defensive principles, because you're going to have to rotate because people are going to get beat.
And your last name's Booty, by the way. I like that. Everywhere you play, there's Booty on your back.
Hmm. Yeah, you didn't mention that. How come you didn't bring that up when we had him on?
Well, next time we have him on, we're going to have him on tomorrow. He said we can call him anytime.
He did. Yeah, and we've got our buddy from Australia that we had on that people wanted to hear again. I apologize.
Chad. Chad, you love him.
Yeah.
Hey, so, would you like to play everybody's favorite weekend game?
I would. I'd love to, if it's what I think it is.
Yes, I believe it is.
Monopoly?
Is Bobby going to know what button to push back there?
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
I thought we were going to do something else.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Whitey. Thanks.
No, buddy. I'm ready.
Okay, we do mean everything in the world can be labeled one of two ways, but it must be labeled one of two ways. Good for ball or bad for ball. Doesn't have to be sports, ball, nothing. It can be anything. It can be, in fact, the baked goldfish that I got from our company store here before the show began. Bad for ball. I thought they were the extra baked goldfish.
What? So wait a minute. Is it bad just because you got the wrong one?
Yeah,
or
bad for ball. I made the wrong choice.
And what did you think you were getting and what did you actually get?
I got just the regular old baked snack crackers. I thought I was getting like the extra extreme with X, not EX. But just extreme, because that makes it extra extreme, right?
And you're listening to the life and trials of Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Well, see, now I'm going to drive home thinking, do I talk about myself too much on the air?
I just feel badly that you have all of these, you know, these things that you have to deal with, including the goldfish. No, of course, that's what you're supposed to do. You're on the radio.
Well, Bobby hit the button and said you're correct, so I've got issues with Bobby, too. Anyway, I think you know how to play the game, but I always need to check first with my partner. So can you give me either a good for ball or a bad for ball from your day thus far today?
Oh, well, I actually went kind of another way. It's not from my personal life today. It's from...
Because I'm the only one who does that, and I do it so much people want to vomit.
And I don't know what the answer is, so I'm throwing it out there. Good for ball, bad for ball. There is a new Batman and a new Spider-Man, the actor, every 3 to 5 Batman or Spider-Man movies. It's like you got, they're always changing the guy who plays Batman and the guy who plays Spider-Man. Is that good for ball or bad for ball?
Ooh.
I mean, it's Tobey Maguire and an Andrew Garfield or whatever. Well, and
you're going to have to give me the answer because you brought it up.
I don't know the answer. And then Christian Bale was a great Batman, right? That was like 3 Batmans ago. And then there's going to be another movie. It'll be a different guy.
Okay, but this part of the segment is where my co-host illustrates that he knows how to play the game by giving us either a good for ball or a bad for ball from his life that day.
All right, I'm going to say it's good for ball because otherwise you end up in a situation where you got like Roger Moore playing James Bond and he's, you know, like 72 and you're watching going, that guy's not, he couldn't be James Bond. So I think you need... I think you need to rotate new guys through. So
interesting,
I say
though, that you put James Bond in the superhero category.
Well, I just, the guy who played the same character. Yeah.
You've been riding me for 3.5 hours. I'm going to get you the last 20 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so you just did a good for ball, so I'm going to give you a bad for ball. Actually, no, Bobby's worked so hard. Bobby Spang, do you have a quick bad for ball? No.
Have one on the text line.
Good job, Bobby. I was testing you there. Warning, this is a mild spoiler if you have not yet seen Living With Yourself. Okay? Have you seen Living With Yourself?
Don't even know what it is.
I didn't either until I saw this. It's apparently it's a Netflix.
Is that Paul Rudd?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. Tom Brady only spends a few seconds on screen in Living With Yourself, but it took 4.5 years, 2 Super Bowl wins, and a sex scandal to get him there. Living With Yourself starts with a down-in-the-dumps Miles, Paul Rudd.
Ant-Man, by the way.
Yes, Ant-Man. Another superhero. I hope they don't ever put another guy into the Ant-Man spot because you'll be upset. Miles decided he needed an upgrade. With his home and his work lives in total disarray, he takes his newly revitalized office nemesis' suggestion and heads to a magical spa where $50,000 is supposed to help him become the best possible version of himself. When Miles pulls up to the top happy spa, he begins to question his decision. But before Miles can talk himself out of it, Tom Brady, walks out of the strip mall spa looking as if he's been reborn. First time the Patriots quarterback asks Miles with a big smile. Uh-huh, a shocked Miles says. You? As Brady gets into his SUV, he gives a mischievous grin and reveals a secret. 6. So, that's a reference to his number of Super Bowl titles. But
okay.
The spa, Tom Brady, Patriots, you see where we're going with this?
I do.
Robert Kraft had issues. Well, all of a sudden people are saying that Tom Brady was poking fun at Robert Kraft for doing
this.
Tom
Brady doesn't like that.
Yeah, and Tom Brady is not happy that this is a story at all. Good for ball, bad for ball.
That Tom Brady's not happy, or the story, or...
The whole thing.
The whole thing is good for ball, because anytime you can make fun of the Patriots, it's great. Anytime you can have a Patriot unwittingly making fun of the owner, It's good for ball. Although, yeah, you know, the whole situation.
Bad for ball that Tom and his people didn't recognize. I mean, right. I'm really surprised by this, actually.
Right.
Dude, you're walking out of a spa, out of a massage parlor. Your owner just got busted.
Yeah. I guess he didn't know it was a massage parlor when he did it. Right. He says, a green screen. I couldn't see anything. On the text line here from the 510, Whitey's interpretation of the game, bad for ball. I disagree with that. You should put Batman in the same category as James Bond because neither of them have superpowers. Ooh. New actors for superheroes, bad for ball. I'll play for you, Whitey. Okay. One more for you. Christmas lights and trees already up in stores. Good for ball, bad for ball. I was at Home Depot yesterday, and they got a whole wall. All the trees and all the inflatables. And
it's not even Halloween yet, and we got Christmas stuff. Okay, here's I'm gonna say bad for ball.
I know everyone would say 98% of those responding say bad for ball. I didn't mind. It was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, Christmas is coming. It was pretty.
It reminded you that Christmas was coming.
Yeah,
so it's good for ball. Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. I know I'm gonna get voted down on that one.
I'm out, my man.
Christmas carols being played on the radio prior to Thanksgiving. Good for ball or bad for ball?
I don't care for them, and somebody must like them, so it must be, you know, whatever gets people listening. I think it's bad for ball and disrespectful to the holiday.
Okay, wow.
So,
that's heavy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to put everything against the wall where people can go buy it, okay, that's one thing, but playing it on the radio before Thanksgiving, okay. I don't like it.
Sally Mae brought more than 100 of its employees to Hawaii in August to celebrate a record year.
This sounds like a math word problem. Sally Mae brought 100
looks
employees.
Like one, yeah. $5 billion in student loans to 374,000 borrowers. The company said it didn't pay for employees' families to attend, but some did tag along. We said, hey, look, Maui's a pretty nice spot. And so if you wanted to stay a few days or want to bring family, that's up to you, said the CEO of the company. How do you feel about this? We're going to send you to Hawaii, but if you want to bring your family, you got to pay extra.
That's bad for ball.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful.
But just say either bring the family or we're not going to go?
Yeah, because that's what we're sending you to Hawaii for. Presumably you did a great job or something.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you think I'm going to enjoy it by myself?
I agree.
Yeah. And
it
maybe
should be at least one, a plus one.
Yes, absolutely. That's okay. Terrible. Terrible for ball.
All right.
Terrible for the country.
Did you know that Kevin Gates is a famous rapper? I didn't either, and I consider myself somewhat of a hip-hop aficionado.
I think everybody does consider you a hip-hop aficionado.
Wow. He says he's decided to lose weight after a baby tried to suck on his chest.
What?
I had my shirt off, and I was holding my partner's baby, and his baby tried to suck my breast. So now he wants to lose weight. Is that good for ball or
bad
for
ball? Did we just get Michael Urban saying that, by the way? Because that's going to be handy to have.
Are you just saying that I have breasts?
No, I'm just saying you said it and it'll be recorded. That is, that's nature. That's good for ball. That's what a baby does, right? A baby's seeking nourishment wherever it can find it. That's just biology.
It's just the world doing what the world do.
That's exactly right. Baby doing what a baby does.
Okay. Miami Heat rookie Tyler Herro and Orlando Magic's Michael Carter-Williams engaged in trash talking during the final minutes of the third period in Thursday night's preseason contest. Herro, am I pronouncing that right, by the way? H-E-R-R-O, Herro. What is it?
Herro.
He knocked down a three-pointer. Hero. His three-pointer was the spark for the confident rookie to verbally spar with Carter Williams. The jousting eventually led to both players being separated by officials and being assessed technical fouls as a result of their actions. After walking away, the first player to deliver a high five to Herro was Butler, who is supposed to be now, what, the captain, the King Kong of the Miami Heat. He's giving this guy a high five for getting it mixed up. Is that good for ball or bad for ball?
It's good for ball. It's good for the Miami Heat, and that's what Jimmy Butler's there for, that toughness.
Is that right?
Bringing that toughness, yeah. You don't back down from anybody, Rook. He's telling the Rook, good job.
Okay. I like this one that we're going to end on, and then hope I want to get a little Rick Tittle just for 2 minutes because I haven't had some Rick Tittle in a while. A lawsuit, don't take it personal.
No, I don't.
Don't make it dirty either because you were about to make it dirty. A lawsuit has been brought against Theo Epstein and after his dog urinated in a house that Epstein and his family rented during spring training of 2015, according to the Phoenix New Times. Epstein's dog left a terrible odor and urine-stained carpeting in the house, staining tile and stone flooring, wood door jams, cabinets, and furniture. My God, this guy just... A helicopter spinning around the apartment and this dog peeing everywhere? The jostling... Epstein denied the allegations through a Cubs spokesman saying, my dog did not pee all over your house. The Epsteins left the rental home early that spring training to stay in another place because of a scorpion problem. They left because of a scorpion problem, not because of the dog pee. I can't believe I'm saying this in a professional setting. Good for ball or bad for ball, righty?
Again, what is it that I'm evaluating is good?
What's going on, man?
The way I look at it is his dog peed all over the lot. They wanted him out. He went out, but he told everyone he was leaving because there was a scorpion problem, not because there was a dog piss problem.
Oh, I think it's bad for ball.
Why?
Because dog urine is not not great, but on the other hand, it will get rid your house of scorpions.
I was just going to say I would much rather...
Thank you.
Yeah, if it was... Me being in a shoebox with either dog urine or a scorpion, I'd probably pick the dog urine.
Yeah. Scorpions don't like the dog urine.
It'd be a big shoebox, too, by the way.
All right.
Is Rick Tittle out there? Are we going to get any Rick Tittle or no?
Rick Tittle's coming up here on 95.7 The Game?
I believe he is.
Yeah.
And you and I, we should let the audience know now, because we do have only a few more minutes together.
Right.
We've got time together tomorrow as well. We've got 2 hours.
Yes. After the Raider post game, which I believe will feature the one and only Rick Tittle, if I'm not mistaken. Hello, Rick.
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Hi, Rick.
How's it going? Herbs, Whitey. Good to see you.
Very good to see you, sir. How about the Raiders tomorrow on the Green Bay Packers?
The Green Bay Packers, the Raiders on a magical mystery tour. Not the 49ers, but 49 days away from the Coliseum. And so far, so good to win at Indianapolis, to win in London, and now at Lambeau Field. The Packers are 5-1. I think you'd be crazy to pick the Raiders. But then again, the Raiders were underdogs last two games. So who knows, Herbs?
If only they had Antonio Brown.
If only they had Trent Brown.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Yeah. What have you guys been up to the last few weeks? Just been hanging out?
Yeah, today was a fun show. We had a guy from Australia who
runs a Redskins website.
Crocodile Dundee?
Exactly.
And we also had Josh Booty, who is a fantastic guest.
Do you know that Josh Booty and I used to do football shows together once a week?
No way.
Yeah, and...
Well, he loves us, so
2003, I think. It was when his brother John David was at USC, and then in the draft it was going to be this kid Matt Ryan out of BC and this other guy no one heard of, Flacco out of Delaware. What about John David? But anyway, yeah, he was great. You know, Jim Leland called him the best defensive third baseman he ever saw.
Really?
Cup of coffee with the Marlins, left after being the LSU quarterback, then went to the Browns and also the Seahawks as a backup, never saw the field in the NFL.
He was practice squads with the Raiders, too. Raiders
he
and
had,
Seahawks.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. 5 minutes in Alameda.
Yeah.
He was talking about his time. He said they were playing the Expos, right? And he said, because Whitey asked him the hardest hit ball he had ever faced. And as he starts tucking the Expos, we both were thinking, okay, Vlad's going to be the answer. Rondell White.
Rondell White was a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he was like in that type of category.
He's a strong guy. Yeah. Actually, I remember a term that he would always say, Josh Booty, whenever he wanted to describe someone as fat, he always said he was big in the britches. Nice. So I just remember big in the britches. What is a britch? Is that like an overall? Or is that a pant?
Oh, you'd never heard of that?
No, I've heard it. But what is an actual...
Yeah,
could you
draw
me a picture of a britch?
It's like pants. There's no thing as a pant, right? No such thing. So britches, you got to have the britches. It's not singular.
All right. And if you have shorts, you have son of a britch.
Yeah.
Right. What do you got going today?
I got some NFL talk going, 3 hour stream of consciousness, solo. I don't know what I'm doing. I got some guests. I got Grant Cohn.
Nice.
He's
awesome.
Always opinionated.
Speaking of opinions, are you willing to share with us with the NBA season tipping off Tuesday and the Warriors opening Thursday? Any of your, Warrior forecast?
You know what? I think it's going to be just a whole hell of a lot of fun. You know, I think they're going to be a playoff team. I don't think there's any worry about that. I don't think they're going to win the NBA championship this year. News flash. Sorry. I hope they do. I don't think they will. But I think a new building and D'Angelo Russell and everything. We still got Dre. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. And when we get Clay back, hopefully February, whatever it is, it's going to be even more fun. So I predict a whole lot of fun. How about that for a general answer?
Yay!
Michael Urban says Lakers going to win it all.
If they stay healthy. But we were told by a caller that, how do I encapsulate that? You're better at it.
A gentleman called to tell us that we were not using the English language properly, and that if you're only unhealthy if you have an illness, but that if you're injured, that has nothing to do with whether you're healthy or not.
So I could not care less.
So like if Anthony Davis had a killer cold.
Then he's unhealthy.
Yeah.
But if he has a broken leg.
If his sinuses are good, but his leg is broken.
Perfectly healthy.
Perfectly healthy.
Really? So you had Marion the grammarian? You know
exactly.
You know what always gets me is that with people getting shot and war or whatever, violence with guns, they always say, he got injured. No, he was wounded. He was shot. Injured is when you stub your toe on a chair. So let's do.
Are you the guy that called?
He's kind of like that.
I really am like that. But for 3 hours, I'm just going to do like linguistics.
He'll blast people who have sent in like errors on the text line.
Somebody actually wrote the other day, WALA. It's like, hey, if we just do this, then voila, we have this.
Voila. All right.
I'll leave it at that. I'll see you guys in a second.
Rick Tittle is next on 95.7 The Game.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.